Welcome back to Mind, Body, Spirit on 88.7 The River. I'm your host, Erin Kearse. We are back chatting with Lori Stoyny, family law lawyer, and I'm just thrilled that we're here because I've been wanting to have you come in for so long. I know people struggle with trying to navigate this whole traumatic experience of uncoupling, getting separations, getting divorces. It's always harder even with children. And I think, we talked in the last segment a little bit about how to put in place awareness, self-regulation, mental resiliency, and emotional intelligence so that you aren't in that position. But even when you think you're most prepared, things can happen. And it's nice to know that people like you, and I refer people to you a lot because I refer to you as a conscious lawyer, as a heart-centered lawyer, as someone who, will personalize it and not make it such a cold surgical experience. And I think it's an accurate description of how you kind of walk people through that journey, because it's a tough one. It's a traumatic one, like you mentioned earlier. And yet, you had experienced that as a child. I know you've had some experiences as an adult as well. And it's a very difficult experience to have. For me, as a holistic life coach, I've actually had unintentionally mental health groups with women, ironically, going through the same thing at the same time. They were all going through, some were just starting the journey of separation, some were in it, and some were just completing it or navigating the after relationship. And so it was an interesting journey for me, having lived it, to be able to support other women going through it in kind of a group mental health way. And I actually plan on doing another one of those very, very soon. Creating and Maintaining Loving Relationships will be the textbook we use. It's a textbook I have in the Holistic Life Coaching training program, but it's a very, very helpful textbook to use as a foundation for a mental health group like that. So I did find that walking people through that group, they were able to really empower themselves. And it's unfortunate to think that it would take something like that for people to become more self-aware. But unfortunately, you get dating someone at the beginning and you seem to overlook all the things. And unfortunately, when you're dealing with other obligations, those difficulties or those challenges in personality conflicts, they're going to come out. And if you haven't addressed it earlier on, then it becomes, well, you never had a problem with this before. What's the problem now? Or becomes this power struggle and games that people play and roles that they play, and understanding how were their parents in dealing with their challenges and struggles and arguments. So then that gets brought into it. If there is a deadline to blaming our parents, so I don't want to imply that it's our parents' fault, because it's not, but we do learn conflict resolution through people of authority, whether it's parents, guardians, teachers. We learn our worth through that, our values, our morals. And if we don't know ourselves very well, it's going to be really tricky to be in a relationship with someone else that we expect so much of. And I notice that a lot too. When we go into a relationship, this whole romanticized notion of you complete me. Oh my God, it makes me want to just vomit. Because really, you need to be a whole person going into this. And I know that it's difficult. People will be like, what do you mean? Like, I'll never be, no one's 100% complete, but at least know yourself better and know your strengths and your weaknesses and go into it humbly so that you're not blaming someone else for your own weaknesses or expecting someone else to be your other limb or your other leg. It sounds hilarious to say it that way. But when I try to explain this to people on a mental and emotional level, would you expect someone to replace your leg or your arm or an organ in your body? I mean, unless you were truly ill and you needed that, but truly to expect someone to be responsible for your mental wellness or your emotional well-being is just as illogical as expecting someone to move your arms and legs for you. And when people are when they're told that and they hear that, they start to go, gosh, I never really thought of it that way. I guess it's kind of silly to have this expectation that someone else should regulate me. Someone else should provide emotional stability for me. And it does release and they're unwhole as well. So here they are limping around and you're here limping around. So if you can love someone through the limping and you can take responsibility for your stuff, you might be able to navigate this without having to get a separation or divorce. Right. But if you're in a situation where it has just gone too far, there is no fixing it. And quite frankly, and I say this a lot too, if both people aren't willing to work on it, then it can't work. Like, there's no way that one person can hold all of that together for two right. people. It's just, right. Eventually it's going to crash, because you just, no human that I'm aware of can handle that kind of strain on a daily basis, especially when you add into it finances, children, you know, jobs and possibly illness, all of that stuff. It's just too much. So mm-hmm. if you're in a situation and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm hearing myself resonating through the radio and I'm hearing this, I feel like it's time. It's for me to come and see someone like you, Lori. What is the next step? They give you a call. What does that look like? How do they move through this experience?
So they would give me a call and we would do a consultation and I would answer their questions. So it really depends on what the client's looking for. Do they want just Cole's Notes version of family law? Do they want to talk? Maybe they just want me to listen. Sometimes people aren't really, they call thinking they want answers, but they really don't. Sometimes they just want someone to listen to what they have to say. And that's fine too. So it really depends. It really depends on where they're at and what it is that they're looking for. Sometimes people are ready to proceed and they want to start looking at financial issues in terms of division of assets and support issues. Sometimes they want to talk about their children and what kind of arrangements could be made for them. It really just depends on what their individual circumstances are.
So they want some soothing and they want to take the fear out of it a bit, have a little bit more knowledge. Knowledge is power. So if they start to realize that there are systems in place, there are steps to take, other people have been through it, you know, I'll walk along with you. I think that can help. But you'd mentioned it's a half hour session. So it
if they want more, they can have an hour, but typically people would want half an hour. Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds to me like for someone to be best prepared moving into this would be to have questions written down so that they can get through all of their deepest concerns immediately in your meeting. And they might end up with more questions after and they can book another appointment, I'm assuming. Say they now have decided to move forward. What is the next step when they've decided to move forward with it?
Then they would, I have a whole process in our office. So I have one of our staff members, my legal assistant, Linda, would arrange that call. So then if they decide that they would like to retain us, then they would call Linda back. And because I take very detailed notes every time I'm doing a call with someone, and I have a little folder on the person and I give that folder to Linda. And then they would call her and say, yes, I'd like to retain Giffen and Lori to do X, Y, and Z. And then we would proceed accordingly, whether that is getting the client in office for a meeting to discuss things further or sending them a financial statement for their completion. And typically our clerks would assist with the completion and gathering of all of the financials, doing a financial statement. And then we would just, you know, it depends on what the issues are. It depends on whether there's children. A lot of the time, if the parties aren't able to come together regarding discussion on their children, I'd send them to Annette. I'd say, go to Buy Peaceful Waters, talk with Annette. It'll be much cheaper for you than to have two lawyers writing letters back and forth about what schedule is good for your child. Go to her because she is an experienced, trained social worker. She knows how to deal with high conflict matters. She knows how to deal with people that are not quite well emotionally. She can have that conversation with you and create a parenting plan. And then the client would come to us with a completed parenting plan. We would review it. I have one just this morning I need to look at. And then we can sign that off and put it into an agreement, a separation agreement. So it just depends on where the parties are at. If the parties have been in a highly conflictual situation for some time with no resolution, and they've tried mediation, they've tried negotiation, you might be looking at a court-imposed resolution, right? So you might be looking at, it's time to file an application. We need to get, you know, things in order. It just depends on what the issues are.
Could you give us an example of, and the reason I say this is because I know that you get people safely to the end of the race, of the end of the marathon. What is the worst case scenario that you've had where you wish things had gone differently? And I say this because I want to back up from there and talk about how that could have been avoided. So, you know what I mean? Like, what's one of the most challenging scenarios you've had?
I think it depends. It depends on which context, because if you are in litigation, in family law, that means that the parties are in court and it's a minefield. And I say that because I don't know who the other party's lawyer is. I don't know which judge I'm going to have. I don't know what evidence the other party is going to bring against my client. What has my client not told me about their criminal charges or the fact that Family and Children Services was involved or whatever it else may be? Or,
So you got blindsided.
the pictures of them drinking alcohol and passed out on the floor, which they say, of course, never happened, whatever. So there are all these, the worst case I think I've had was where a client was not truthful with me about the extent of their addiction and problems and was lying to me. And, the client was actually under oath giving, doing questioning, and I was completely blindsided. So I am their advocate. I cannot help you if you do not tell me the truth, however bad it is,
So
right? I
help
need to
me help
know,
you.
right? So if I, because I have a strategy, I have a whole way that I'm trying to position the client to help them get to a resolution. My ability to do that becomes very compromised if I do not have all of the information. So that was probably the worst. And but all litigation is terrible, really. Like being in court, it's all terrible because you have to, it's not unconscious uncoupling. I mean, that is fighting horrible. We have to say horrible things about each other. And it could be the truth, right? I'm saying the truth. But those negative things come to light. And it's very fear-based and it's not ideal. Why do we go there? Sometimes because we have no choice. And if you have a person, like my favorite tagline that I made up is like, reasonable people do not go to court. Okay. Reasonable people settle their affairs. They will come to an understanding. They might not like it financially or with their children, but they will stay out of that system because it is not good for families. It tears them apart. If they were already apart, they're going to be much more apart when they're done with that whole
And
process.
it sounds like you have a lot more unknown variables involved. So many more people, so many more nuances, so many more factors involved as soon as you step into the courtroom that you wouldn't have
Correct.
if you did it in a meeting room.
Right. Because when you are in court, did the judge read my papers? Is the judge in a good mood? Is the judge not liking my client for whatever reason? Is the judge going to be yelling at me so that I cannot get a word in edgewise? I mean, and then is the lawyer not prepared? Is the lawyer, like, am I going to have to do their job, which happens more often than I care to like? The lawyer doesn't know what they're talking about. They're not prepared, or worse. And I say this because part of my job as an advocate is to tell my clients the limits of their case. For example, I often say to my clients, look, I'm not Dorothy. I cannot click my heels together and make what you want come into fruition. It is not going to happen. For example, if you are a high income earner and you don't want to pay child support for your children or perhaps your spouse if she is entitled, I cannot make a magic wand to make that go away. You will have to pay. That is the law. That is how this works. So sometimes what I have to do is tell my clients and give them that understanding. If they don't want to accept it, then that is something that they're going to have to deal with, right? But that's management of the client and their expectations. A lot of lawyers don't do that. They would simply take it to litigation if their client says, well, I'm so and so and I don't want to pay. And they'll say, well, he doesn't, something like that. That's an extreme example. But I'm just saying that
Generalistic, but yeah.
sometimes lawyers will just do what their client wants as opposed to what is realistic and what can be done in the legal system.
Well, because
And
in the
that
end, they're
creates.
going to be handling it longer, so they'll make more money. So you may not be pa paying
Correct.
your ex-partner, you're just paying your lawyer that money.
Correct. And that is problematic for me because I like to get down to resolution. I want people to see clearly, make informed decisions, and be reasonable. So if your former spouse has aligned themselves, so people find each other. They find each other. So if the spouse, the ex-spouse, is not right, okay, something's not right mentally, emotionally, whatever, they will find someone that they will
Puzzle
align with as
pieces.
their legal counsel who is going to feed into that. Or if they are a very, I'll use the word narcissist, but I'm just using it in a broad sense, okay? let's say the former spouse is has grandiose views of themselves, and they feel that they are perfect and special and blah, blah, blah. We know how they are.
Yes.
They will find a lawyer who's like that. And then, of course, that lawyer will feed in. Oh, yes, you're so wonderful. Oh, yes, you're so great. Oh, yes, we have to do it the way you say. And all of a sudden, you have these weird dynamics that are taking on a life of their own. And I
There's a
have to get my
lot
poor
more,
client working in that. How
there's
do
a
we deal
lot
with
more
it?
drama involved with that,
Yes.
which I can't imagine the kind of
Yes.
trauma that that causes. I want to talk more about that when we come back. And we will be right back with more mental resiliency tools and emotional intelligence skills with Mind, Body, Spirit on 88.7 The River, local radio at its best.